For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm not really ready, but should we just do this? Should we just do this? I'm not really like, yeah, let's just do it. Whatever. Who cares? Right? Who cares? Who cares? Let's just do this. Let's just get this going. This isn't rocket science here. This is a podcast. What's up, everybody? Just getting going. I'm ready mentally, ready physically for this. Just hanging out. What's up, Bob Brink? Welcome back, dude. Welcome back. Just setting some stuff up here, getting everything ready here in the studio. Studio A back here in New York. And yeah, getting ready. Got a lens cap for my camera. Not going to use that. Had to get that out of the way, though. Had to get that off my keyboard. I don't know why that's on my keyboard. But thanks for stopping by, everybody. I know I haven't done a lot of live shows lately. I've been trying to get resettled in the Northeast. So I apologize for that. And I hope everything's going well with you guys and you stick around and hang out and hit the subscribe button if you're not subscribed, and also hit the thumbs up if you haven't yet, just so we can boost the signal of the show, because it's going to be happening more so. You know, we're going to be doing more live shows and all that stuff, more videos. And the more you guys like the videos, easier it is for YouTube to pick up on them. And we have to get the signal out so we can show the world Starship, SLS. We can show them Super Heavy, show them all the cool stuff that's happening in spaceflight, because I'm super pumped about it. So if you can, just give this a like. That'd be really great. What's up, Spaceballer? How you doing? Hope everyone's doing great out there, too, that's not Spaceballer. But thanks, Spaceballer, for chiming in the chat. Okay. Here we go. Let's talk about some SLS stuff real quick. This is pretty cool, actually. I want to show you this. I gotta kind of rearrange some stuff here, and then we'll start doing this thing. NASA has SLS back on the pad, which is the Artemis 1 program. It's back on the pad, and the wet dress rehearsal will be happening soon. So let's take a look at what NASA Kennedy Space Center has to say about that. The next Artemis wet dress rehearsal attempt is targeted for no earlier than June 19th. And this kind of coincides with something else that's going on with SpaceX, because it's all happening really, really fast, right? So like the SLS stuff, the Artemis stuff, and also Starship stuff is all kind of happening in June, July, August. Like this summer might be possibly the most insane summer of space flight that's happened in a really long time, because gonna have some Falcon Heavy stuff going on. There's four flights coming up, actually. Yeah, I think it's four flights coming up at the end of this year, and Artemis is gonna be ready soon, and also Starship is gonna be in the picture as well, hopefully. If all goes well with the FAA and all goes well with their systems, it could be an incredible, like, crazy, crazy time for spaceflight this summer and going into late, late summer of this year. So we have some predictions, you know, future predictions for Starship. And just from the stuff that I know from actually being next to Starship and being near there and living 20 minutes away from there, I have some predictions of when everything's going to happen and what needs to be done and stuff. So I'll get to that a little bit later on in the show, but for right now, let's talk about some SLS, the mega rocket, the Artemis program. Next wet dress rehearsal attempt, no earlier than June 19th. What is that? That's 11 days away. Earlier than 11 days away. They have to check the systems before they do the wet dress rehearsal. Make sure all the pipes work. Make sure all the tubing works. Make sure all the suppression systems work. This is basically like they're setting this thing up for, you know, basically flight, but without the flight. So everything that's included in the flight of a SLS rocket, the Space Launch System rocket, they're doing everything for the wet dress rehearsal, getting everything prepared. And then They're just not pushing the button to let it go. That's pretty much it. And then they're going to check out all the systems, make sure everything works fine. And then from there, they're going to basically get it ready again. If it's on the pad and it's ready and it passes the wet dress rehearsal, then they can either see if they want to do another wet dress rehearsal, basically load it back up with the propellant, load it back up with fuel, load it back up with cryo, get it ready to go. And then from there, there's a possibility that they do it again just to make sure they're going to they're going to run their countdown clock. They're going to do everything with that. And then they're going to recycle it too. They're going to demonstrate the ability to recycle the countdown clock, which is, even though those things seem sort of trivial, the countdown clock is very important because those systems are in place in order to tell the rocket what to do, when to go, when to launch, everything, all the systems in place. So they have to demonstrate the ability to recycle the countdown clock because if something does kind of go off a little bit, if something's a little bit weird, they have to make sure that all the systems are in place to kind of mitigate those circumstances. So they're going to conduct a full launch countdown at this. And I want to check out this video, by the way. This is how big SLS is. This is how big the rocket is. It is huge. It's going down an elevator at the VAB, at the Vehicle Assembly Building. This is, it's going at a decent clip. You're at the top of the SLS right now. And just look at how long it takes for this thing to go down, by the way. This is insane. This is insanely huge. You're in an elevator enclosing this thing. You're not even to the actual propellant tanks yet. Look at this thing. Look at this, how big this is, by the way. I'm so excited about this, and it's so cool. It's so cool. NC Davis, thank you so much. I don't know if you get a Starship. What's up, KJ? How you doing? Welcome, everybody. If you're not here, make sure to hit that like button. Maybe we can get 420 or 42,069 likes on this video. You'll see that throughout the show. But look at how long this takes. NC Davis, you're amazing. Four booster landings, please. Let's see if we can get that for you. I hope I set that up. Let's get this going. There we go. At least get you a couple here. We'll get you a bunch. There we go. Thank you so much, NC Davis. Thank you for supporting the show and supporting my journey into space flight through the last 3.5 years, basically. Very cool, man. Very cool. We're just gonna wait through this, and then we're gonna get some starships for NC Davis. We're gonna wait through this video. Look at how long this takes. This is a pretty decently fast elevator, too. How is that possible? How's that even possible? I mean, this thing is gigantic. 300 plus feet tall, almost 400 feet tall altogether. With the launch platform and everything, it is huge. And you don't realize how big these things are until you're actually there. So that's why I included this video today of just going down this elevator and how big it actually is, because you can see a person next to it, right? But then you don't see how actually like big it is, because you just see kind of like a little tiny person, and then you can kind of be like, okay, that's pretty big. But if you see it from the top to the bottom in the elevator, you're like, oh, dang. Okay. I see this. This is huge. NC Davis, I think we're at like six rocket launches now. Look at that. And then you have the transporter right there at the bottom with the tank treads. Look at that. Right at the bottom there, all the way down from top to bottom. Absolutely insane. Very cool. NC Davis, thank you so much again for the super chat. $4, four booster landings. There you go. Then we got little extra here. Got a little extra. Let's go up a little bit. Let's go up. How about you go down, then you go up? This is how big this thing is. It's insane. It's insanely huge. So the Artemis program, if you will, they're readying it for another wet dress rehearsal. Engineers will conduct a final test known as the WDR, the wet dress rehearsal of the Space Launch System, the Orion spacecraft, and the Exploration Ground Systems before Artemis 1 will launch at Pad 39B at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The rehearsal will run the Artemis 1 launch team through operations to load propellant into the rockets, conduct a full launch countdown, demonstrate the ability to recycle the countdown clock, and also drain the tanks to give them an opportunity to practice the timelines and procedures they will use during the launch cycle. Because if something were to go wrong, so this is the thing with these gigantic rockets, anything is possible. So if something were to go wrong, they need to be able to drain the tanks immediately. They need to just reset everything immediately, get all that propellant out of there, because if they don't get it out of there in time, if something were to catastrophically happen, bye-bye rocket. It runs. It immediately goes.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bye-bye. And billions of dollars go down the drain, and they have to start over again. The Artemis II is a little bit of different configuration from Artemis I. So they'd have to restart with Artemis II. Kind of, that's a backup plan. If Artemis I, something happens on the pad and it ruds, or if it ruds in the air, Artemis II can take over from where Artemis I rudded. So it's going to be a 2-day test, though. And this is what's going to happen. They're going to be activating the facilities. I'm reading this off, like, I have notes over here, so if you see me glancing over here, that's why, because I can't remember all this stuff. It's immense amounts of information. They'll be activating the facilities for the launch and beginning the countdown sequence. They'll also staff the control center as well. So there's a bunch of people, hundreds of people that are involved in this process. So the command center at Kennedy Space Center, it is intense what they're doing with Artemis One. It's the biggest rocket that NASA has ever flown. And it will be, if it launches before Starship, the biggest rocket that will ever fly. And once Starship launches, though, this thing is, it's in the same league. It's a super heavy rocket. There's no like what's better or what's worse. They both do the job, right? So they have to staff this place up, though. So they go through all those settings. They go through everything. They put everybody. It basically it's a dress rehearsal for a movie, but they do it instead of a movie, reading a script and all that stuff, and you talk to your friends and talk to your other actors and stuff. But instead of that, it's for a rocket, the biggest rocket that will ever fly, if it flies before Starship, of course. So this is an insane thing that they're doing. So they're going to be connecting staff at the Mission Control Center at NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston, Space Force Eastern Range in the SLS Engineering Support Center at Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. So it's not just happening at the pad. It's happening all over the United States. Launch controllers will power on different rocket and spacecraft systems, along with ground support equipment for this crazy wet dress rehearsal. Now, if it happens June 16th, they could possibly launch sometime this summer, August, September, probably more so in September, I'm assuming, late August, early September. I'm thinking. Let me. There's a chart that I didn't bring up, unfortunately. But I know where it is, so I can find it real quick. So give me a second here for the launch opportunities of Artemis One, mission availability. Here we go. July 26th through August 10th, 13 launch opportunities. August 23rd through September 6th. Let's check this out. I'll show you guys this real quick. Let me go back to this other thing too, by the by. Here, let's do this. And then we'll go back here. Then we'll go like this. Mission availability. So let's go down this list here, just so I can show you guys this. July 26th through August 10th. 13 launch opportunities. No launch availability on the 1st, 2nd, and 6th. August 23rd through the 6th of September, preliminary. So we could start July 26th, but I'm assuming it's going to be in August, August 23rd through September 6th, just because there's just so much to do after this wet dress rehearsal. It's basically a full reset after the wet dress rehearsal, getting all the systems ready. There's 12 launch opportunities between August 23rd and September 6th. August 30th, 31st, and September 1st, not going to work. September 20th. So they have a little break here. So September 6th to the 20th, they have a 14-day period there where they're not going to do it until October 4th. 14 launch opportunities, October 17th through October 31st, 11 launch opportunities. And then November 12th through November 27th, 12 launch opportunities. And in December 2, 11 opportunities. December 9th through the 23rd. How cool would it be if they launched it on the 23rd of December, sort of like a Christmas thing? I think that'd be pretty sweet. But you never know, really. There's a lot to do in between the wet dress rehearsal and the actual launch. So there's a ton more for them to do. For the on this rocket, and we'll see. Like that's pretty much where we're at right now. Like we'll see what they do, but if they get through the wet dress rehearsal, we're in a good spot. So, Artemis mission. Hopefully it works out well. Hopefully it works out well, and hopefully the wet dress rehearsal works out well. No earlier than June 19th. And when they do the wet dress rehearsal, I'm hoping to have a live stream from NASA for that. So hopefully we're going to have that. And then we're going to have a countdown between now and then. We're going to have a live stream countdown where commentary, etc., through probably starting what day is today? Let me see. Where's my phone? I don't even know where my phone is. It's the 8th. So probably start, since it's not the 19th, probably start like the 15th or something. We'll do a countdown show. And get everybody ready for that. Get everyone pumped up about the Artemis program because, people like to choose sides. Like they like to be on one side or another. And this is kind of a funny thing because it's like, sure, I love SpaceX. I think they do insanely cool stuff. I also love NASA. The hat. I bought a NASA hat. I love SLS, Starship, Falcon Heavy, ULA, all of it. I love all space flight. So people like to pick sides, and I really hope that the SLS can kind of be like, okay, we can do this all together. We don't all have to be fighting all the time. Like, dude, come on, get over yourself. If you think SpaceX is better than NASA, that's fine. That's fine. You can think SpaceX is better than NASA in so many regards, and I would agree with you in a lot of ways that SpaceX is working faster and cheaper than NASA. Iterating Starship at such a breakneck pace, it's insanely cool. But also, the Artemis program is going to sort of set the groundwork for future human spaceflight and also future humans working in space. So, working together, like SpaceX and NASA are going to be working together. So, there's no real reason to fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, SpaceX and NASA, they're buddies. So why would we pick a side, or why would you pick a side and kind of like pick a team when those people aren't fighting anyway? Like it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, yeah, SpaceX is doing things better than NASA, but NASA's doing might be doing some stuff better than SpaceX. Just, I mean, they sent some people to the moon. They got to be pretty credible about this stuff, you know? Come on. So all I'm saying is it can be everything. It can be both. Elon said four Falcon Heavy flights later this year by an incredible team at SpaceX. Yeah, four Falcon Heavy flights later this year. It's going to be cool. So we're going to have SLS. We're going to have the Artemis 1 launch. We're going to have, hopefully, cross our fingers, we're going to have a Starship launch of some sort by the end of this year. And also four Falcon Heavy flights. If they can get all the boosters back, that would be super cool, man. I would be super pumped about that. I mean, come on. Falcon Heavy. That's probably, I don't know, my second favorite rocket. I don't know. I have a thing for Starship, right? Because of course I moved to Texas for Starship. I basically just like moved my whole life for Starship. And hopefully they're going to be doing a full stack of Starship soon. They have some road closures coming up that we'll talk about in a minute, and there's some other stuff that's happening at Starbase with the FAA, and that could possibly happen in the next month or two. You know, SpaceX still has a lot of work to do. Even though, Elon is very, he's always, and he always is, you know how he is, but he's always wanting SpaceX to push so hard, such a breakneck pace. And, the fact that we're really close, like we're closer than we were last year. Now, I want to know, let me know, chat, and I know there's a bunch of you guys here who probably thought about this before, but what do you think of the FAA when they stopped SpaceX from testing down at Starbase? When they stopped and they said, okay, we got to do an environmental review for this thing. And do you think SpaceX was ready with Ship 20 and Booster 4 to launch? Do you think they were ready? Because I've heard so many different stories, so many different theories from people about the hardware, about the software, about the people, about the building practices, everything at Starbase. And I don't know, to be honest with you, if SpaceX was ready with Booster 4, or yeah, Booster 4 and Ship 20, so 420. And I am a huge 420 fan. I'm a huge Booster 4, Ship 20 fan, but I don't know if they were ready. Did they find something with Raptor 1 that is possible that they just were like, okay, well, we got to wait anyway. Raptor 2's almost ready. Let's just push through to Raptor 2. Is that a possibility? Did they find something that wasn't exactly perfect with Booster 4, Ship 20? Well, I don't think we'll ever know. Nobody's ever going to come out and say it from SpaceX themselves. But is it possible that FAA actually kind of did SpaceX a favor here by postponing them so long that they had the opportunity to build Raptor 2s and integrate them into the new booster and the new ship? Is that a possibility? So it's, Booster 4, Ship 20 may have rutted on the pad because Elon has said this so many times that Raptor 2 is a better rocket or better engine and more efficient, higher thrust, safer, less complex than Raptor 1. So is there a possibility that Raptor, like the FAA, in some way, in some weird way, kind of helped SpaceX in this whole thing? NC Davis says, I am also a huge 420 fan, but I think they would have gone ahead and launched it if they could. Elon never shies away from failure. I think there's a higher chance of success due to FAA's delays. But Elon was ready to light that candle. Yeah, I think he was. I think he was at some point. I think that's the differentiator between SpaceX and other things, is that they're willing to take those risks. But how far back would they have pushed development if they would have rutted on the pad? I know. I've been there. I've seen this thing up close. It is such a complex mechanism just on the pad itself that if they would have rutted on the pad, like it would have taken a month to rebuild. Maybe half a year, maybe a year, I don't know. But I think they would have done it. I don't know. I really think they would have done it. But I think the FAA, in some way, even though they probably didn't mean to do this, they probably put SpaceX in a better spot by pausing them for a little bit, So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I think in the future, we'll get the answer from somebody. Like somebody's going to ask Elon if that was actually going to be a thing. And if it was going to be a thing, maybe we'll get the answer eventually in the future. Sound is too low. Roger M. Really? Okay. I'll have to adjust that a little bit. See if I can boost my signal a little bit. There we go. There we go. Let's see. That's as high as I can get it for right now. And I don't want any, I have an air conditioner over here, so I have to keep it a little bit low. The air conditioner's like directly blowing into my microphone, so I have to keep it a little bit lower because my noise gate is picking it up, or my thing is picking it up. Bob Brink says, I'm 100% behind SpaceX, but I like NASCAR, and it would be boring if there are only one car on the track, so I hope another company gets up and going. Bob Brink, I agree with you. I want all the super heavy rockets. I want Blue Origin. I want ULA to make it super heavy. I want Boeing, anybody, who cares? Like, I want everybody to make it super heavy. And I want everybody to be like launching gigantic things into space, giant telescopes. I mean, imagine if we had telescopes, the size of a double decker bus. How cool would that be? Like three times the size of Hubble. That would be absolutely incredible. So could you imagine that? I mean, come on. That's what's going to happen in the future. Like, that's a future thing, if people always keep pushing forward. But it takes a ton of money. I don't know why the other big companies didn't think of building a super heavy rocket, other than it would take them billions of dollars to do it. And, stock prices and, shareholders and things like that. Like, who's going to really support a company that's like, oh, by the way, we're making crap tons of money just being part of the Department of Defense. And also, we contract out to NASA and build some parts for other things, and we make a bunch of money that way. Or, let's just put a couple billion bucks into a super heavy rocket and see where it goes. We don't have any customers yet. How about that? We don't have any customers yet. We're going to build this giant rocket and then see what happens. And like, that's kind of probably what the shareholders were thinking. It's like, oh man. And like, people at the top, like the top brass, like the people that are the very highest, like CEOs and stuff of these big companies, like, why would we build a giant super heavy rocket? Like, there's no reason to do it. Plus, they're already contracted for the SLS, most of these companies. Why would they build their own? They're going to have to go out and get other customers. And like, there were no other customers. There's no customers for a super heavy yet. In that regard. And then SpaceX was like, we're going to build it anyway, and then we're going to launch our Starlinks, and then we don't need customers because Starlink's going to make us tons of money. So they did it a different way. They didn't get the traditional customers where somebody like ULA or any other company out there would get a traditional customer where they would have to sell them on a launch. SpaceX is their own customer because they have Starlink. And the deck that Elon was talking about the other day, let me see if I can find this for you. He had, I gotta show you this. Yeah, there we go. He tweeted this out the other day. V2 satellite production, Starlink. So this is Starship Super Heavy. This is from his Twitter account at Elon Musk, if you don't know. So as you can see, you can't really see that too well, but in this center area here, it's like a Pez dispenser. And it's like when you open up the front of this thing, of the Starship, these things pop out. Look at that. It's like little smiley. It's like, hey, check this out. Look at all my stuff. And it just shoots them out like a Pez dispenser. Just drops them down, shoots them out, drops them down, shoots it out. And they said they were having complications with that thing, and it's super impressive. Like, if this actually works, dude, like, this is pretty freaking sweet. Like, hundreds of satellites. And then they fly this thing back, they reload it, and then they do another launch. Like, they land it. I mean, the first few will be expendable, right? The first few will be expendable. So, this is from a pitch deck, or from a deck from a SpaceX all hands meeting from the other day. But like, how insane is that? Just to think that, like, who thought this up? I want to know who the person was that was in this meeting and was like, you know what we could do? Why don't we just make like a little slit in the side of a Starship? Like, because they had the idea. Let's show you this too. I want to show you this, and we're gonna get off in a little tangent here, but I got to show you this part here, then we'll scroll down a little bit for Starship. It's a flip top lid right there. So this is how they were going to do it right there. They were going to have this little flip top, and then they were going to shoot satellites out of the top of it. This is from the SpaceX website, but it's kind of a small animation. Let's see if I can open image in new tab. There we go. look at how it flip top lid, you know, like the top of it flips open. Then they're like, well, how would they do that, but also launch hundreds of satellites without them kind of getting stuck on the lid, you know? And how would they, how they do that? And then somebody in a meeting was like, let's just cut a hole in it, and then we could shoot them out. What? Who thought about that? Like, the satellite Starlink ones, you just kind of like bleh, you know, like they just go bleh, and they just fall out kind of, and then they reposition themselves to the right spot. But like, this is a great idea, but it's very technical, you know, like how do you keep this thing hinged during launch, during flight? It's absolutely incredible. But how do you do it without ripping the thing apart? It has to be absolutely perfect. So at this point, I think the hole in the front, like the little slit that they have, is probably the better option, because I mean, it seems crazy. Like, this seems crazy. Like, look at this thing. It seems absolutely insane, but it also just makes sense in a way. So they're gonna have to, so the force of the Starlink shooting out the front, they're gonna have to kind of propel it forward as well as they're doing this, I believe. Because I would assume the force going out the front in some way would kind of push. I don't know. I don't know, because that thing's huge. I don't know if it's relative, you know, like I don't know if it would, if we'd have to push back with some sort of thrust, but I don't think so for the first couple here, for the first flight. I think it's going to be fine. We're going to see if it works, you know. Booster 7 Raptor 2, they have a little undercarriage here of Raptor 2. Elon said that just recently they're installing all of the Raptors on the next booster. So Booster 7, so it's going to be 24/7 eventually. We'll be launching, hopefully. But here's a kind of an up close look at those Raptors underneath Starship too. Yeah, Bob Brink says, I think that SpaceX was close but not quite ready, so FAA was not totally at fault. Yeah, I think they were really close, but I think they were, yeah, I think they weren't quite ready yet. And I was down there during the whole construction phase of 420, so I have all the footage. I have like hundreds of hours of footage that I took on the side of the road of 420, and that's kind of where we're going to go to eventually too, is like, what's the timeline for this thing? You know, what do they still have to do? How much time do these things take? How much did they learn from doing 420, and then they're going to take it to 24/7, you know? So it's like, there's so many other factors going on. Is the launch pad ready? There's still people working on it every day. So I don't see them being ready with the launch pad, unless they're working up until launch and you know, stage zero. But the if they're working up to the launch and then they're just gonna like cut it off at some point, like they might even already be ready enough. You know, the suppression, the water suppression, we saw a little trickle of that a little bit ago, like about a month ago, but there's no other indicators that there's a launch suppression system, like a sound suppression system set up that's actually going to be able to handle 33 Raptors. Like, that's a lot. So, Ancient Astronaut said, I think they could have launched 420 given the chance. We knew it probably would have rutted, but, or he knew it would have probably rutted, but he would take that chance. See, I think that's true, but I also think the engineer in him doesn't want to rebuild stage zero. You know, maybe they would do it, you know, since stage zero was kind of a baby at that point, maybe they would do it and be like, yeah, whatever, we'll cut our losses, you know. But the sooner they get to orbit, the sooner they can launch the next Starlinks, and then they can start making more money. So that'll be pretty cool. How long do you think it will take for ULA to test PE4 on Vulcan? Adam, months once they get them already. I think it'll take months. They're gonna have to do static fires, and they have to do fit test, check test, just like everything else. You know, they have to fit test all the engines. They have to do basically all the piping that's on a Vulcan and the BE4 engines. Yeah, Rory's got to get his engines. But it could take months, you know. I think it'll take 4 to 6 months before they actually get this thing like cool, you know. High risk, high reward, says Blake. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's the thing. Maybe it would have been high risk, high reward or high risk, high RUD, you know. It's a pellet machine. Yeah, Adam, it is. Yeah, it's basically a pellet machine. Just clunk, 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 clunk. Just shoots these things out. That's what they said in the Everyday Astronaut video too. He was like, it's kind of like a pellet machine. I think that's what he said. But yeah, just like kunk 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 kunk. Yeah, just goes down and down and down, shoots them out the front. It's pretty impressive, to be honest with you. Any news on Phobos and Deimos rigs? No, not yet. I've heard there a few rumblings about them, but that's not really a high priority right now. So they're just kind of like sitting around. They're still ripping them apart a little bit, so they're figuring out what the next steps are and things, but I don't think there's really any like high level building going on at this point with those two. Jeff Francis, hey man, what's up? Yeah, so that was pretty much it for Starship, I think. Let's take a look at so the environmental review for Starbase is almost ready. We're so pumped. So end date 6/13. We have like 5 days left. It's the 8th right now. 6/13. In progress. Everything is ready. Endangered Species Act, Section 106, the Endangered Species Act Consultation Number 2, Magnuson-Stevenson, Stevens Fishery Conservation Management Act, Section 305 is done. Everything looks done. And then we have a date of 6/13, basically, so they can like cross the T's and dot the I's and things. So we have a few more extra days left. But this is important too. Section 4F has concluded. Section 4F. And this is from the other page. This is the environmental assessment for Starbase. SpaceX, the project is a SpaceX Starship Super Heavy launch vehicle program at the SpaceX Boca Chica launch site in Cameron County, Texas. Whew. Yeah. So this is kind of a rundown of what this thing. The completion of the environmental review process does not guarantee that the FAA will issue an experimental permit or vehicle operator license for SpaceX Super Heavy launches at Boca Chica. SpaceX license application must also meet FAA safety, risk, and financial responsibility requirements per 14 CFR Chapter 3. Yeah, so the FAA and SpaceX, they have to come to an agreement after this that they're okay to launch this thing. You know, that it's not a risk, really. It's very safe. It's as safe as you can get it. And the financial responsibility requirements as well. So, financial responsibility, meaning do they have enough money to do it? Do they have enough money to continue doing it? Et cetera, et cetera. So, this environmental review doesn't mean that SpaceX can launch right away. They have to get an FAA launch license, and that could literally take months, if not a year, depending on what system SpaceX has shown them, how much information's out there already, when they file, how they file, you know, if they have to make concessions for this environmental impact study. So the PEA could say, hey, we're going to give you this, give you the okay. But you can only do it if you do these few things. Could be a list of 15, 20 things, could be a list of two or three things. But because nobody knows at this point what it's going to be, but we assume that it's going to pass. So the fact that this goes through could also possibly postpone SpaceX for a couple more months. You know, they could have to do other environmental risk management at this point, and that could take them hiring certain people to do that, to do those tasks, whatever they are. And that could take months to find the right people. And also, if they do that, and then they have to prove it to the FAA again and prove it for the PEA, kind of environmental, the programmatic environmental assessment team, and they have to check those off again. If they get those things done, then they can launch, but they also have to get the launch license. So FAA safety, risk, and financial responsibility requirements per 14 CFR Chapter 3. I don't even know what that is. Let's take a look at this. Let me give it a little search ski over here. Oh, this is a long document. you just saw my all my yeah, there's a lot to it. I can tell. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's gonna be a lot. Oh yeah. So check this out. This is like if I have to go to court, I'll read this. Like one of those things. So, you know, just to make sure, definitions, abbreviations, there's all sorts, like tons and tons of pages. Page 77, safe, efficient use and preservation of navigable airspace. Destinations of class A, B, C, D, and E airspace areas. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff in here. War risk insurance. What is that? That's crazy. I didn't know that. That's a thing. I guess that makes sense. But yeah, there's all sorts of other things they have to do, requirements that they have to do, and it could take months, more months than where they're at now. So it's a possibility SpaceX doesn't launch till later this year, till December maybe. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Starship. I mean, I moved my whole life down there just to see Starship a bunch. So like, as much of a fan as anybody else is, I'm just as much of a fan. So I know that these things take a lot of time. Yeah, I don't know. Jeff, what? Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Jeff. I didn't get to go to Starbase. Wasn't feeling well. Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry, man. That sucks. Hopefully you'll get down there again, because I hope you get to see that beautiful, beautiful area and get to see some of the cool people that are down there. That place is kind of magical, and I miss it. I really do. Like, I'm back up here in the Northeast, and I love this place so much, but I also really do miss, even though, like, I was like, okay, that's a chapter in my life that I have to close. I'm like, but I really do freaking miss it, man. And it's like, I'll be like hard on my sleeve. It was one of the most, like, one of the coolest experiences I ever got to do. And I couldn't have done it without everybody else. So Jeff, if you get a chance, I really hope you get down there and like, just enjoy it. Like, that's going to be so fun. I'm sorry that you felt, you weren't feeling too well though, man, that sucks. Hopefully you're feeling better now, but you know, you'll get back down there. There's plenty of time. You'll do it. You got this. Adam says, oh, Plastic Mug says 54 Starlinks per Starship launch is not a lot. We'll need a lot of launches. Yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot, does it? 54 seems like, you know, I don't know. It's a lot, but it also seems like Starship should be able to handle a bunch more. It seems like that, but apparently not. You know, it's like 50, 55, 56, whatever, somewhere in that area altogether. They can probably squeeze some more in there eventually, but I think the first one's going to be like, you know, mid 50s to 60s. Hopefully before I have to go back to get radiation. Yeah, man, it's a tough one. And the thing is about Starbase is that it's like, it's really rugged, man. Like, you gotta be really sort of like mentally ready for it. And when I went down there, I wasn't mentally ready for it. I was mentally ready to like go on this crazy adventure, this life adventure. But also, like, you have to be mentally prepared to go to actual Starbase. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be alone on this road for like 30 minutes, nothing around you. And, you know, just be like, it's such a beautiful drive, though. It's so cool. And you get to just like enjoy the area and enjoy just like, it's very just sparse. There's nothing there. And it's really brown. Like, so these are the things that I took away from living in Brownsville near Starbase, just because this is because you brought it up, Jeff. So these are some of the things that I took away from living in Brownsville and the Starbase area. I loved my apartment. It was really cool. Nice big place. You know, and I had enough room for another studio there. I didn't have like a living room, but I converted the living room area into a studio, which is really cool. And I did a lot of shows from there, a lot of live shows, a lot of kind of like editing shows and things like that of Starship stuff. So my typical day down there was wake up in the morning, go grab some breakfast, go to Starbase, film for an hour or two. So by that time, it's like, let's just say 11, 11 o'clock, I'm done. Come back home, start loading my footage onto my hard drive because my computer at that time was junk. And I had to transfer everything from this little drive right here, this little SSD, which goes into my camera. I had to transfer that into my computer. And by then, it's about an hour later because there's so much footage. And so then I would start editing at about noon, and then by about 3 o'clock, I'd be done with like a rough cut, and then by 4 o'clock, I'd be done with like a final cut. And then about 5 o'clock, either publish it or wait till the next morning to publish it, depending on what the schedule was. And then between 5 and 10 o'clock at night, I'm like doing all the other stuff. So I didn't really have a time to get a life when I was down there, which was really unfortunate. But I did get to see some cool stuff, and the area is really it's really stark. It's beautiful, but it's like stark, rugged, beautiful. It's very flat, like super, super flat. I think I got a my builder guy's coming over to take a look at the bathroom. So might have to see if that's him. Might be my brother too. Stop by. But the my dog's barking downstairs, that's why. But just be mentally prepared is all I'm saying before you go down there. Because there's like it's not a lot. It's really hot too, by the way. So James says V2 Starlinks are much bigger than current versions. Yeah, and that's like they're better, but they're bigger, but they're better. So it's going to be a really interesting dynamic when they start shoving them into a Starship. It's going to be so cool when we actually get to see that. And since they're doing all the testing now, they have to send that back to the bay. And then put the Starlink satellites in there and then bring it back out to the pad, but they also have to do a stack test. So they have to stack Starship on top of the booster as well. So, when they get to the point where, we can even think about getting close to a launch, it's going to look like this again at some point. Then they're going to have to do cryo tests on the booster and on the ship together, pressure tests possibly on both. Maybe a static fire on the booster at this time when they do the fit test. Possibly not. They might possibly take them apart again and then do another static fire on the booster, maybe another static fire on the ship, just to make sure everything works after they've been stacked. Because who knows what gets jostled around when they stack them. I mean, they're not going to stack this thing and not test it. Because, I mean, if they have the chance to static fire booster, they will. I think they will. But it's gonna be a pretty long journey, I think, for Starship to launch. And it might not even be by the end of this year. Like I was saying before, the environmental assessment doesn't mean they're gonna launch right away. And unfortunately, I wish it were the case. I wish the environmental assessment says go, but they don't. They say, okay, the environment looks cool and you're ready to go as far as the environment stuff goes, but you might have to make these concessions. So it's possible SpaceX doesn't even get to launch until maybe later this year. I mean, it might be a thing. So I think I'm gonna make a whole video about that because, I mean, at the end of a podcast, some people probably won't even get to see this part. So I'm probably gonna make a regular video about that so everyone can kind of chime in and stuff. I think that might be kind of cool. Adam says, bring all you need for sure. Not just hot, it's very humid, plus no shade, sunscreen a must. Yeah, exactly. Bring a big hat. That's one of the things that I tell everybody before I go, before they go down there. They ask me for information or like, I get a lot of DMs on Twitter like, hey, I'm going to be at Starbase. What should I do? And then I say, bring a big hat. Like these are the necessities. Maybe I'll make a video about that. That might be a good idea. Here are some things you need to bring. You need to bring a water bottle, like this big of water. By the way, Wegmans, love Wegmans. Love that I'm back here to have Wegmans again. But a big old water bottle, like bring water with you. But Yeah, there's so many things that you don't really understand before you get down there, you know. And I don't want people getting hurt either. You know, like by the end of the time you're down there, like you're drained. But the beach is beautiful. So if you're getting hot, just jump in the Gulf, you know. Like if you feel like you're overheating, just jump in the Gulf for real. It's nice and cool. It's super chill, you know. Just drive down to the end of the street, jump in the Gulf, and be like, oh, thank God, this is nice. And then get in your car and leave. You know, like get in your air conditioned car and take off. It was very cool. Marino, how you doing, man? How you doing? Bring big fishing hat for sure. Yeah, I got a big. It's in my car. I still have it in my car. But yeah, maybe I'll do a thing about that too. Like, what should you bring to Starbase? And nowhere to park. Yeah, Adam, that's another thing. People ask me all the time on Twitter, like DM me, and they say, "I'm going to Starbase. Where should I park?" And I say, "Okay, how do I explain this?" So I might just make a video that explains everything, and you know, so I can just be like, "Watch the video." A gallon of water costs less than $1 at the grocery store. Yeah, exactly. Bring a bag of ice too. You know, if you can get a cooler. Bring a bag of ice and bring some snacks and stuff. It's always good. I always brought like things like this. I have this from a hike earlier. I brought this out for a hike, like one of these little granola bars, Nature's Bakery fig bars. Yeah, it's just like a little bit of sugar, you know, just a little snack. Because if you're out there for 2 or 3 hours, the sun beats you up. Like you are done. You're done. So yeah, bring water, bring snacks, bring a lot of sunscreen. So maybe that's a good idea. Maybe I'll make a video about that and where to park too. What's up, Andy? How you doing? Marina says, I'm safe, thank you. Very cool. Very good. Tomas says, Mr. Elon is the best. Yeah, he's smart. He's a smart dude. What's in for Artemis is going to the moon. It seems the lunar starship has been chosen first to return to the moon. Well, Artemis is going to go around the moon first. And then I don't know if, and Elon has said this in the past, but is SpaceX going to try to beat NASA to the moon? He said, well, if we can, we will, you know? So there's a possibility that they do that. I think that would be absolutely incredible if they just go like, you know what, NASA, we're not going to wait for you. We're going to do our own thing. And then we'll see. And they do have to. They have to actually land a starship on the moon before they do the Artemis program with the starship, because they have to test it. Because they can't really put a bunch of people, even a few people, in a crewed starship before they land an uncrewed starship on the moon. So they're going to have to test it before they actually have people in that thing. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens with that in the future. And there's so many other things that they need to do in order to get to that point. And like where we're at now with the Starship, this is just the beginning. So the mid 2020s, you know, mid 2020s, we're hoping to get some starships on the moon and get some people on the moon, hopefully soon too. That'd be freaking sweet. Roland says, I have no doubt SpaceX can be to do that first. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think SpaceX can. A bit off topic, but did you see the WWDC this year? I did. And I think it's pretty cool. Everything that happened there looks pretty cool. Tech is good. I enjoy tech stuff. So if you're into tech stuff, that was pretty fun. I gotta check this again. It looks like my stream has paused. Maybe not. No, there we go. But it just looked like I had a little hiccup there. So thanks for sticking with me. But yeah, I think there's this is the summer of space flight, possibly. This could be a huge summer of space flight. So yeah, it's gonna be pretty sweet, man. I'm pretty stoked. We have Artemis 1, we have Starship, we have Falcon Heavy, we have a bunch of Falcon launches. ULA launch. There's all sorts of launches going on. So just this might be the summer of Super Heavy. Maybe. Let's hashtag summer of Super Heavy. Let's do it. I just made a thing. Super Heavy summer. I'll tweet it first so I can get the thing. Super heavy summer. It's super heavy summer. At Artemis. NASA Artemis at SpaceX. There we go. There, I tweeted it. That's mine. I did it. Hashtag super heavy summer. So, thanks everybody for watching. I got to take off. I appreciate everybody here. Thank you so much. Jeff, thank you so much for the super chat. That just came out of nowhere. Get good. Nice. Very nice. Thank you so much. You're going to get some starships for that. So, thank you. Let's see here. We got to get you some starships. There we go. There we go. We'll turn those on. Bow. There you go. Thank you. That's awesome. What a way to end the show. So if you are a fan of space flight, if you're a fan of Space News Pod, if you're a fan of me, anything, if you want to become a member of the show, that helps us out tremendously because it's every month. It helps us continue doing the show and also helps fund me going to rocket launches and filming in the future. I filmed Starship for 9 months, 9, 10 months, something like that. And I'm ready for more launches. So when Artemis does a launch, I'll be at NASA. I'll be nearby for this moon rocket launch. So if you want to become a member of the show, greatly appreciate it. Just hit the money button, whatever. Show your support for Space News Pod at the bottom of the chat, and you can become a member. You can also, there's a button for a member, apparently. I don't know how what that looks like on in mobile, but it seems to me like that's the way to go. Like that's the best way to do this as far as YouTube goes, because sometimes, you can't really don't get any ad revenue basically for something that gets like 5,000 views. So all the money that goes into this channel basically goes towards all the rocket launches in the future and all the filming in the future and things like that. Luckily, I have a decent job now where I can pay the bills for myself and like I put a little bit of money away for the channel, but I do rely on other people to help out. It's like NPR basically. They have advertising money, but they also rely on other people and the support of viewers like you. So thank you for everybody who's a member of the show. We have some members. Here we go. Jeff, thank you so much again for the super chat. We also have NC Davis with the super chat. I like the get good though. I like that one. That's pretty awesome. That's funny. Super heavy summer is the exact opposite of beach bod summer. Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Ooh. Or hot nozzle summer was last year, I think, or was that the year before? I can't remember which one it was. Or maybe it's every summer. I don't know. But it's funny, regardless. Quick question. If you look around the SN24 panels, you can see there are five sections where panels are missing. I do see welding lines on the section where the panels are missing, but I wonder. Ooh, okay. I have not checked into that. I've seen a couple streamers, and I haven't really noticed, to be honest with you, SN24's panels. I'll look into that. I'll look into that. That's interesting. I want to see what that is. Thanks for the heads up, Roland. Appreciate that. But I must be off, my friends. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. You thank the people that are helping you. David Littlejohn, William Contino, Gary Cunningham, Deborah Hall, NC Davis, Jeff Francis, everybody who's liked the video today. Can we get two more likes, please, by the way? So we can make it an even number. Oh, we're at 69 likes. I was going to say an even number of 70. Or 69. Gunther, Stefan, Megair, Sam Christ, Jack Savage, Money Flex Life, Neil Thorne, Dave Stetzel, David Perucci, David Littlejohn, William Contino again. Stream ending! Gotta hit that button. All right, thanks, guys. I really do appreciate it. More live streams coming up in the future, so make sure to subscribe. And we're at 71 likes. Thanks, everybody, for all of your support throughout this crazy 3.5 year long journey of the Space News Pod. We're almost getting 100,000 subscribers. We're getting there, 88,000 right now. Thank you. Love you all. Take care of yourselves and each other.